We read together in Romans chapter 8. I invite you now to return with me to the end of that chapter. Romans chapter 8, and we'll read verses 38 and 39 again now. For I am convinced, says Paul, that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. I want to focus especially on the first in that list in verse 38, that death will not be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. It cannot separate us. We have had two very dear Christian friends die this week. But we are here today to proclaim in confidence, to the comfort of our hearts, the encouragement of our lives, and to strengthen our testimony to this community that death cannot separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. It will not be able to cut us off from the love of God. It may change some things, but it does not change this. We remain, when we die, loved by God. And that is something to lift our spirits this morning, to lead us to sing our hallelujahs to the living God. Death cannot and will not be able to, has not the power to, separate us from the love of God. I'm going to ask simply seven questions this morning of this passage, or that are answered by this passage. And I hope that they will give us some guidance and help. And the first is an important question. What is death? What is death? Paul is speaking in this list about death, and I'm not sure if there's any deliberate intention that he puts it first in the list. I guess he's just been speaking about death because he knows that Christians in the churches that he is pastoring face persecution and death sometimes, and Christians as well have other forms of death, natural death, and perhaps they're worried. Jesus is going to return, but what happens if we die before he returns? And this is one of the things that Paul is wanting to reassure them. Death will not separate us. It doesn't in a sense make any difference to our relationship to God's love for us. It cannot do that. But what is it? What is death? Now, there is a medical answer to that question. Our bodies are very, very complicated systems. And when death comes, these systems, these bodies of ours, can't function anymore. And it takes quite a lot to make that happen. Our bodies can lose many parts. They can suffer many illnesses and still be able to function. Our bodies only stop functioning when our major organs fail and our brain dies. But is that it? You know, when your brain dies, will you yourself be snuffed out and cease to exist completely? Now, science can't answer that question. Science can only look at what the body does. But we need to look at other forms of evidence to confirm our positive answer to the question. Is that it? No, it's not. It's not it at all. What other evidence is there? I'm not speaking here about near-death experiences, although these, if you care to look into them, are incredibly diverse all over the world. but I'm talking about a situation where people have died, their brains are not only dead, but maybe even decaying, and yet the person returns to life. Now, there are many, many claims of this happening throughout the history of the Christian church. But we can focus especially on those in the Gospels. People like Lazarus, Jairus' daughter, the widow of Nain's son, and our Lord Jesus himself. They're dead for long periods. Their brains are most certainly dead, in many cases decaying. And yet they're brought back to life. How can that be? Well, the answer is because human life is not just physical. Human life is spiritual. It partakes not just of the nature of the dust of the earth, but it partakes also of the nature of God himself. God is spirit, and he has endowed us with spiritual natures. So, we're here today, and we know that God is here. We can't see him because he's not here in a bodily form, but he's here, mind and heart, and in his love and in his power, here present with us. In the same way, we too can be present without having bodies. So Jesus can say to the thief on the cross, who is going to die with him, "Today you will be with me in paradise." Now the bodies of both the thief and of Jesus remained on earth, but as spirit they were able to go to paradise. Paul can say, "I desire to depart and be with Christ." His body will remain in the world. It will be buried. It will decay. But he is spirit as well as body, and he is able to leave his body, and as a disembodied spirit, he can go to be with Jesus. So, death is when we leave the body. That's what death is. I mean, medically, you can define death, and it's not easy to define death medically. But in spiritual terms, it's when we leave our bodies. When our bodies are so dysfunctional that they can no longer sustain biological life, we leave our bodies. And we'll all do that. We'll leave our body. So that's the first question. What is death? The second one is, can man postpone death? Can we postpone it? And of course we can. These days man is much more powerful to postpone death than he has ever been. We know more than ever about what makes death come about, what makes the body fail, and we know more than ever the best lifestyle to adopt and the best medical steps to follow in order to keep the body functioning. We know how to live healthily. We know how to live safely. We take our medicine. We have our operations or whatever. And people live much longer today as a result than they did in the past. So there is a sense in which we can postpone death. And we make much of those powers as human beings. And we're thankful for them, that God has given them to us. Certainly both Dolly and Alistair benefited from those powers. And probably every one of us here has benefited from those powers to prolong life. I wouldn't be here, and probably many of you could say you wouldn't be here if man didn't have the power to prolong life and postpone death. And that's something we're very thankful for. We've all benefited from that in many ways. So man may be able to postpone death, but can man avoid death? That's the third question. Can man avoid death? He is powerful to postpone death, but death is more powerful. Death is more powerful. We know that an accident, a fatal accident, or just the aging process will exceed our powers to postpone death. When the body's functions are so damaged that we are not able any longer by our technology or techniques to sustain those functions, death takes place. Death always wins in the end in terms of our biological life. It always will take us unless the Lord Jesus returns before we die. Death is inevitable. And it doesn't matter how we've lived. Think of this week the famous yoga practitioner who no doubt tried to live very, very healthily, BKS Iyengar, died at 95. No matter how healthily he lived or whatever his techniques were to prolong life, he couldn't avoid the inevitability that we all have to face. And it's something that we need to come to terms with. You know, I know that we don't like to face unpleasant truth. We try to put it off. But it's something we have to come to terms with. And I ask you now, have you come to terms with this fact that we cannot stop our own death? Death will happen to us all unless the Lord Jesus returns first. It will happen to us, and it's something we have to learn to reckon with and to find our peace with somehow, and hopefully through the gospel. The fourth question is, can God conquer death? Death is more powerful than man, but Paul tells us here that it has no power to separate us from God's love. Death, he says, will not be able to separate us from the love of God. That is telling us that God is more powerful than death. We can prolong death, we have that power. But death ultimately is more powerful than we are. But God is more powerful than death. God's love is almighty. Nothing can break the bond that ties God to his children. That bond is unbreakable. God will not let that bond be broken. So when death occurs, as it does in the lives of Christians, and they leave their bodies, God's love holds both their bodies and their spirits. The body rests until it will again hear God's voice, the voice of the Son of God, as Jesus says, and all who hear that voice will live. The body rests in the love of God. The person, in spirit, is shepherded and is ushered into the presence of Jesus, the presence of God. And now sees God face to face in perfection and glory, enjoying a level of fellowship, of relationship, of blessedness that we can only really imagine. In fact, I don't think we can, because the Bible tells us we can't. Eye has not seen, ear has not heard, nor has it entered into the heart of man what God has prepared for those who love him. So that is the way God has made it. That's the way he wants it. Death cannot stop him from carrying out his purpose. And we should be deeply thankful today that when death is more powerful than we are, there is someone who has power over death. And it makes complete sense for you and for me to get to know that someone, to make that someone the priority of our lives. Because otherwise, left alone in the presence of death, we have no answer and no antidote. But with God, we can have victory over death, and we will through Jesus Christ. So it makes absolute sense for you and for me to make this one of the matters that we are dealing with in our lives, and to make it our priority as business in our lives, to get to know God, the Father of Jesus, because he has power over death. Let's ask a fifth question. Can death bring life? That seems impossible, paradoxical. Can death bring life? But the God who has power over death can do this as well. He can use death to bring life. In verse 32, when we read, God didn't spare his own son. He delivered him up for us all. He gave him up for us all, gave him over to death. For the benefit of us all, says Paul. God delivered his son over to death for our benefit. So, Jesus dying benefits us. Something good comes out of the death of a man. The death of Jesus. The death of God's son. God delivered him up for a purpose. God delivered him up as a priest. As a priest bringing a sacrifice that would remove our sins. And that would remove the condemnation our sins deserved. God delivered Jesus up to death to be that sacrifice and payment for our sins. So death can bring life. Death can bring to you and me forgiveness. It can bring to you and me freedom. It can bring to you and to me eternal life with God, a relationship with God. Death is something we maybe dread by nature, but God uses death, and God used Jesus' death to accomplish the purpose of his love. Christ died for us. So death is not only something God can defeat, it's something God can overrule for good, and he did so in the case of his son. Now I know that for many people, death is something, the reality of death, that can embitter people. They can see it happen in very difficult circumstances, and it can turn them against God. But what God wants us to do is look at the most distressing circumstance of death, the most horrific death that the world has ever seen. Jesus dying for our sins on the cross. And he tells us that he uses that death to turn us to him. He uses that death to open up forgiveness in the way of salvation. So today we ask ourselves, are we turned away from God? Perhaps among other reasons, because of death or others' deaths or our bitterness over death. Or are we turned towards God, recognizing that he uses the death of his son to pay for our sins so that we can have life, eternal life? Christ's death brings us eternal life. So God can use death to bring life. That's wonderful. The last but one question. Will death die? Will death die? God's loving purpose for our lives ultimately has no place in the future for death. And by his power, God will ultimately defeat death. Death will die. And the proof of this, the proof of it, and I mean by this absolutely proof, evidence, solid matter for us to reason with and to think, yes, I can see how this is the consequence of what's we're looking at here. The proof of it is, verse 34, that Christ, who died, was raised to life. He was raised to life to die no more. Death has no ultimate victory in God's glorious future. We know what will follow the death of the Christian man, woman, or young person. We know. In God's time, we know what will happen. The day of resurrection will come. And Christians will be raised to be reunited with their bodies. They will, in spirit, re-inhabit their bodies, their resurrection bodies, those bodies that will be fit to live forever. Somehow God will make them of that nature, able to live forever. Able to function forever, free from the depredations of aging. But not only that, fit to live in his presence, glorious bodies with levels of energy and power and intellect and ability that exceed what we know at any point in our lives in this world. They will be bodies like Christ's body. There is already one body that is the first fruits and the promise of this future, and that is Christ's body on the throne of the universe today. It is a human body already raised as the first fruit of the new creation in which every Christian man, woman and child throughout history will share. Death will die, God will kill it, finally, in the resurrection. There will be no more reign of death in the new heavens and the new earth. It will be gone forever. Hallelujah. And the final question then is this. Will God's love die? Will God's love die? You know, we are so used in our thinking to death that we think of all things dying. We think all good things come to an end. Now that's not right. And certainly it's not a saying that should be in the vocabulary of the Christian, because it's not true. People might reason, well, maybe God can defeat death. Maybe nothing can separate us from his love. But maybe what if that love may die? But it cannot. It cannot die. Because it's the love of God. And God, by his very nature, cannot die. He is from everlasting to everlasting. And he is the unchanging God, the God whose character remains. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And his love, the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord, the love that unites us to him, the love that saves us, the love that gives us this great future and hope, is a love that will be connected to us and that will hold us forever. Because it's God's love, we will be loved forever, because God will live forever loving us. And with a love that will conquer death, and with a love that was willing to die for us on a cross. That is how greatly we will be loved. We will be loved so that there will be no obstacle to our future blessedness and glory and delight, prosperity. A love that was willing to die for us will remain with us forever. Such love, such glorious love, will be ours, and it will never end. What will that be like then, when with our friends who have gone ahead of us, we see Jesus Christ face to face in his glory? And we will know that the joy we feel at that moment will never end. Nothing will be able to separate us from the love of God forever. We will never be separated from that love. That love we have tasted in life, we will be immersed in death, and we will live in forever. And the sufferings of this present time that Paul speaks about in verse 18, which seem like mountains at this moment, will vanish and fade. They're not worth comparing with the glory of being loved by God and living with God forever and ever. So may God give to each of us this hope and this vision in our lives. And may we reach out and take it if we don't have it already, because it is a free gift through Jesus Christ.